We know him as the doubter. And yes, it seems as though he deserves that title. After all, Thomas was the only disciple who said that until he saw the risen Lord with his own two eyes, he refused to believe. But he didn't even stop there, did he? No, Thomas said that just seeing would not be enough. He would have to actually touch his hands and put his fingers into Jesus' side. Talk about a doubt. But you know, that was just Thomas. That was his pattern all along. According to the Gospel of John, just hours before Jesus was going to be arrested, he was attempting to tell his disciples one last time what was going to happen. He knew that in the horror of that moment, they would need some words to hang on to, something that told them that there was still hope despite all of the darkness that surrounded them. And so he tells them, "Do not be afraid. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you with myself, so that where I am, there you will be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." And isn't it beautiful? I mean, it's like Jesus is going after those last miraculous words. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'll be there with you. And what does Thomas say after this very eloquent speech? "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how do you expect us to follow you there?" Now, as Thomas, he always wanted to argue the point. He always wanted just a little more information, a little more proof, before he was willing to buy in and be satisfied. I mean, one sometimes has to wonder why Jesus picked him, much less put up with him, for 3 whole years. He must have known something, or he must have been able to see something that just totally escapes us. Or could it be us? Could we be the ones who actually need the attitude adjustment? Could it be us and not Thomas who refuses to see? How many of you remember the story of Lazarus? It's one that we like to tell. Jesus and his disciples were in Galilee when they received word that one of Jesus' good friends by the name of Lazarus is sick. His sisters, Mary and Martha, have requested him to come because they're afraid that Lazarus is going to die. Now, the reason that Jesus is in Galilee is because the last time he was in Jerusalem, they tried to stone him to death. And so everyone knew that if he got anywhere close to Jerusalem, it would not only be the officials, but some very disgruntled individual believers that were going to come after him. When Jesus received the word that Lazarus was sick, he didn't go, which showed good sense on his part. But then after a few days, he said, "Okay, we're going to go to Lazarus." And the disciples said, "Are you crazy? You know that if you go there, they're going to kill you, because after all, Bethany was only a few miles from Jerusalem. But Jesus' mind was made up. He said, I'm going, and I don't care if you go with me or not. Now, does anyone remember how Thomas replied? Anyone? Okay, get out your pew Bibles. Turn to John 11. Verse 16. You have it? Read with me Thomas's reply. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Let us also go that we might die with him. Now, does that sound like someone who has no faith? Would you accuse Thomas of being a doubter? No. Thomas is the first one who says we're going to go with him. And if he dies, we'll die with him. Friends, there is something else going on here. And I'll be honest with you, you know, out of all the disciples, Thomas is the one that I wish I was like. He's the one that I identify with the most closely. He was so full of questions. It was as if his mind was always going in a different direction that no one else understood. So most folks just assumed that he was always trying to find the loophole. They just thought that he was arguing for argument's sake. We know people like that, don't we? They don't want to do anything, so they're always throwing up smoke screens and trying to divert your attention to somewhere else. But friends, all Thomas wanted was answers. He wanted to know the truth. He wanted to know that it was God's will, not his or that of someone else's. He didn't want to follow someone's imagination. He didn't want to buy into false promises. Thomas wanted to know the truth. And when he knew the truth, he was willing to go with it no matter where. Was he wrong to wait for the answers to his deepest questions? Was he wrong to demand proof before he would follow? Well, if he was, then why had Jesus already warned the disciples to beware of false prophets? Look out for wolves in sheep's clothes, he said. There will be many who come after me that profess to be me, but watch out. Don't believe them. Those were Jesus' words. Thomas had heard them. And as for him questioning the resurrection, well, let's not forget that he had already witnessed such events. There was Jairus' daughter. There was the widow's son. And there was Lazarus himself. So according to the Dr. Catherine Hinman, I quote, being alive after being dead did not necessarily equal being God. The other disciples rejoiced at seeing Jesus alive, but Thomas is the only one who proclaimed, my Lord and my God. What happened to Thomas after this day? What happened after he saw the resurrected Lord? Well, I can only imagine that he had a few more questions. And there were other times that the others probably thought that he was still stalling, and there were probably moments when they said he didn't have enough faith. But Thomas and God knew the truth. And that was good enough for him. And by the way, tradition says that Thomas was the first to be martyred for his faith. And to think we call him the doubter. To God be the glory. Amen.